This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
He made himself heard over 7 siblings when he was a youngster, and he is still making himself heard with his own jazz club and a role that sees him artistically direct the Melbourne International Jazz Festival, as he has done since 2009. He is Michael Tortoni, and it is our pleasure to bid a very warm welcome to Bent Notes to Michael Tortoni. Welcome, Michael.
It's my pleasure to be here. Yes, made myself heard over 7 siblings, and they still haven't forgiven me for it.
What did that childhood teach you in terms of survival and achievement?
Run.
Oh, really?
As fast as you can.
So is that your philosophy in surviving what is, I suppose you could call, a tenuous entertainment industry?
No. I came to jazz and I stopped running.
Oh, very good.
This is where I plan to see my days out, I think, at the jazz lab. You know, no, definitely the running's out and finished, and I'm very, very stable and secure in what I do now.
So once you decided that music was going to be your life, what did you do to achieve that goal? Did you do anything special, or did you just let life take you along?
I guess it really started when I was very young. I took a liking to guitar and electric bass, and before I knew it, I was in a school band, and which became a rock band that was signed to Warner Brother Records, and we had some hits and recorded albums. And the lineup there was with Virgil Donati, who's now like the drum god of the world. And I guess that set me up for a life of music in many ways. The four of us have stuck to music all our lives, really.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I went to the VCA and studied classical music, double bass.
That's a bit of a change.
Yeah.
What drove your choice of classical to study?
Well, I wanted to be a full-time musician and not necessarily a rock musician forever. So I thought I could make a living out of maybe joining an orchestra and, you know, I didn't want to really be a teacher. I thought that was the way to go. And I did play in the Melbourne Symphony for a short time.
Oh, did you now?
But I moved on pretty quickly because I missed playing in small bands.
What is it about the small band that entices you?
Well, it's only one bass player. That was very attractive to me.
Pride of place.
Yes. I wasn't fighting. Well, or playing the same note.
It comes back to like the running with the family.
That's right.
If you're in the whole orchestra.
And then I developed this idea that after gigs I could never find a great place to go to and listen to great musicians just blow, you know, just have a play. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll do it. I decided I would. And so I set about, well, creating Bennett's Lane.
That was a few years ago now.
It was.
Yeah.
1990. So it was a few years ago. I was a young man then.
And you're still creating music, or creating the opportunity for music to continue to be created and exposed to the nation, so to speak.
Yeah, well, look, I had a couple of years off after, you know, Bennett's Lane, and I started fitting out the jazz lab. I never actually decided that I would open the jazz lab when I started fitting it out. I thought that was my therapy.
Uh-huh.
I thought rather than laying on a couch with a psychologist for a couple of years trying to work out why Bennett's Lane happened and why it ended, I thought, no, I'll just chip away. And, you know, I had a couple of mates that were tradies, and we sort of did everything. And that was great therapy. And then I decided I want to sort of see my days out listening to music every day. So this is it.
I've noticed that you have an office right adjacent to the room itself, so there's no chance that you're going to miss out on anything.
No, I'm all over it.
But do you get any work done, though?
Well, that's another question. Have I ever done any work?
Well, that's a good question, actually. As a musician, do you feel as if you ever have worked?
Well, look, I guess because of the Melbourne International Jazz Festival and because of, you know, I program the club, I guess that does kind of fit into the, you know, realms of work. Yeah, so, but look, you know, it's a great, you know, it's been a great life, and I've enjoyed what I've done as a career. So, no, I wouldn't do it differently.
Moving from doing something that you enjoy immensely to be able to share that, enable others to share their music with the general population as well as other musicians, which of course is so important to be able to share amongst the clique, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I love programming new projects that I see develop and then go on to record and then even travel and get into festivals overseas and watching them develop. It's incredible.
Must be very warming when you see someone who you've had perform in your club at some stage, a year or two later, they're a bit higher on the rankings, and
yes,
you can look back and say, well, yes, they started out or were very early on in your club.
They've all come through. I mean, even Cat Empire, you know, Harry Angus. I mean, he was having a chat to me a while ago, and he said he didn't remember Melbourne without Bennett's Lane, because we started going out, we were already there. So, we've been part of people's lives since they've been going out to hear live music.
And he's in the festival this year.
He is.
Indeed.
Struggle with Glory. I actually heard that project being played on the radio a couple of days ago, and I had to pull over and just listen. It was amazing, amazing harmonies, and it's a great vocal band.
It'll be good to hear.
Yes.
Very good to hear. Now, Michael, I'll get your name right. You've been artistically directing the festival since 2009, but you've been involved in the organisational side of things since 2001. And over that period of time, the challenges of getting international artists to Melbourne and putting together such a varied and interesting program each year must be really up there on the challenge ranks. Have you found it challenging? And has it got easier as the years have gone?
It is challenging. It's probably become harder as years have gone by. Although the festival itself over the last, 8 or 9 years has become very stable and great infrastructure and great staff. You know, Jen Kerr, the CEO, and up until very recently Melanie Pose, that they gained a lot of intellectual knowledge. And because it became stable, I could rely on them to actually really bring to Melbourne my wish list. But it's become kind of harder because, and this is one of the themes of the festival this year, Waves of Influence, because the internationals, those icons that we're used to programming, either aren't there anymore or getting too old to travel. And you've only got, Wayne Shorter, Herbie Hancock, Chick Corea. But and they're influencing a lot of the younger musicians. In fact, Herbie's doing a new project at the moment. He's saying how great it is because those musicians that he's influenced are now influencing him, and he's learning a lot from them. But if you go back further to, Miles Davis or John Coltrane, Duke Ellington, and even further back, Louis Armstrong, they've left such a body of work, such a legacy that it's still looms large over not only the jazz world but music generally. So that sort of wave of influence is the sort of thing that I was talking about. And the other theme was common ground, and in terms of finding relevancy, in terms of personal expression, and also between other genres. And that's why you get people like Sting, great pop artists, great musicians, touring with people like Christian McBride, who's a jazz player, but fits in to that whole other world. Same as Prince. And Maceo Parker. Maceo Parker's in the festival this year doing a Ray Charles tribute. I can tell you about how I first saw Ray Maceo in a moment. And then you've got, people like Chris Dave from Chris Dave and the Drumheads, who's collaborated with people like Sonny, or great musicians like Sonny Rollins and Wynton Marsalis, but is the go-to drummer for, artists like D'Angelo, Robert Glasper, Adele. They're the two main themes that run through the festival program this year.
Is it a sense of the new coming in to take over from the old?
Yes, it's very much handing on the baton.
Hand the baton, yeah.
Yes, and that's exactly how it works in jazz. They're sort of almost mentored by those icons, and of course, certain musicians become, you can see they're going to become the new legends. So, yes, that's kind of, because jazz kind of absorbs everything in its path.
It does seem to, and over the last 5 or 6 years, what have I been doing the show for, Paul? It's been, it's been 8 years, eight years this year. It's been interesting to watch the festivals and the contents change from being your really traditional type jazz to quite out there stuff these days.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a great educator. It kind of absorbs everything in its path and then reinforms. And that's very much the role of jazz.
Do you have a particular part of the festival that you really have a warmth for?
Well, seeing I put it together, I warm to a lot of it. I mean, look, one of the things that we like to do with the festival too is grow our audience. So it's always a challenge to find high quality artists that do both, that are serious about playing and also entertain.
There is a difference between playing and entertaining.
Yeah, well, I think it's more you've got to communicate. And if there's no connection between the audience and the musician on stage, it's not, for me, it's not satisfying.
Yeah. Shiraz launched their album today at the Jazz Lab, and they were wonderful at interacting with the audience. Matt Dixon has a great way of almost telling dad jokes, actually, from time to time. But it gets the audience involved.
Yes.
And there's so many great musicians who do that, and you just feel as if you've done the right thing by going to that gig.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. And that's what I'm talking about, communicating with the audience in front of you. I think everybody gets more out of it if that happens.
Very much so. This year, the festival kicks off on Friday, June 1, and it runs for 10 days until Sunday, June the 10th. What are your top three highlights? Do you have three that you can pick?
I've got a lot more than three. You've asked. I like to pride myself in answering every question, but three is hard. Gretchen Pilato, I think she shouldn't be missed. I'm not sure how well known she is in Australia. Hopefully she'll be a lot better known after the festival. But she's already worked with Herbie Hancock and Esperanza Spalding, Mark Juliana, a lot of the great musicians around the world. If you listen to, say, her version of Herbie Hancock's Butterfly, you realise how sophisticated she is harmonically and rhythmically. There's a real special quality there. And she tends to use her voice as an instrument more than just singing a song.
It's no longer just singing the words of a song, it's singing and creating sounds.
Yes, yeah.
Two others?
Christian McBride, I mean, he's a double bass player. How can you go past a double bass player?
Of course.
Branford Marsalis, Noah.
Oh, we're going on
we're
now.
We're shipped over to number four now.
We are.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Our very special guest tonight on Bent Notes is bass player and artistic director of the Melbourne International Jazz Festival, Michael Tortoni. Michael, the festival has an amazing booklet that tells us what's happening, and it's got a whole lot of things in there. Now, I thought I'd start with you from the back of the book, just to be different.
Have I studied that?
I hope so. We have some education.
There's some sticky labels on there, so someone studied it.
That's right.
There's some education workshops at Monash Uni.
There are.
These seem to be a very good idea.
Yes. Every year, we work closely with Monash, Jazz Futures Program, where international artists work with Monash students and the lecturers as well, the staff, and then they have performance outcomes. So there's a number of artists. I think Terry Lynn Carrington's working with them, and also Tony Malaby, who's pretty much at the forefront of contemporary avant-garde jazz in New York.
So it's just the type of thing that students studying really need to hear and get some direct feedback.
Yeah, and then actually have a performance outcome, so they actually play with them. It's a great experience.
Must be a thrill for the students.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Monash students look forward to that. And they're also in conversation with these artists. I haven't got that book in front of me, but a lot of international guests will be giving talks at the Channel at the Arts Centre.
What's the objective of those talks? Because as I understand it, they're open to the public.
Yeah, they're open to the public. It's just a conversation between the artist and the audience in terms of their... Well, they talk about anything, really. It can be about music, it can be about technique, it can be about life, I guess. But I guess the audience are interested to know about their life as a musician. Terry Lynn Carrington, Gretchen Pilato, Kristen McBride, all giving talks. They're free,
Which is a great opportunity to experience an aspect of the festival that's not directly musical.
See, I didn't look at the book.
You did extremely well, Michael.
Yeah, so it's one of the features of the festival. Free events and family events, kids events, sound walks, just different experiences.
Now the sound walks sound interesting.
Yes.
No pun intended.
No, they meet at 6 o'clock at night and take in. They've got a guide, and he's very experienced. They take in the sounds of the city. It's quite a interesting little escapade.
So when you say the sounds of the city, is music part of that, or is it literally just the sounds that you hear as you walk around the streets?
Well, yeah, it's the sounds as well as music, so just focusing on sound and what happens when you actually focus on walking through areas.
I suppose there's things that you could pick up as you walk through the city, such as the sound of a tram.
Yeah, sure.
If it's coming along at a certain speed, then it's going to have a rhythm about it.
Yeah, and when you've been taken on a sound walk and it's kind of designed to focus on certain things, it's amazing the things you don't realise until you're being asked to listen to it.
You have something here that's called a Jazz Massive. That sounds rather large.
Yes, it's a massive jam on the lawns of the State Library. There'll be a lot of people bringing their instruments. So I think there's being a piece composed for the occasion. So and everybody will be able to join in.
As in absolutely anybody?
Anybody.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And that's another free event as part of the festival?
Yes, it is, yes.
And you've got something for the kids as well.
Yes, Lala's Big Jazz Adventure. Yes, that's the recital centre.
Because you've had kids' events in past years.
Yes, we have. We've had the ABC
school.
Play School.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It must have some value to keep coming back every year.
Yeah, no, look, I always say you've got to get them young. You've got to brainwash them young. And then you've got a chance of keeping them.
You mentioned a little bit earlier in the interview about, you know, growing your audience and expanding your audience.
That's right.
Of jazz listeners, and you do have to do that.
Yeah, you do.
The free things like the jam on the lawn of the State Library is fantastic, and the kids' stuff is fantastic for that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's great. It's all, you know, audience building, and it's a great genre to be exposed to. And that's why the program is so diverse as well, try and grow that audience. You know, don't necessarily have to suddenly become jazz converts, but you will explore it at least.
You then, let's move now into some of the real jazz?
Yes, you can.
I can call it real jazz. You've got a number of club sessions at some of the clubs around
Melbourne. We have.
They look like an amazing program of people almost every night of the week. You've got the Southside Jazz Room,
yes,
the Lido, Dizzy's.
Yep, a lot of great Australian musicians playing in those venues.
There are.
The Jazz Lab has the Terry Lynn Carrington doing four club shows, Christian McBride doing four club shows, only because it's the size. I mean, you need to get a couple of hundred people in there to make internationals work. Some of those bigger shows are happening at the Jazz Lab. I mean, they would happen at other jazz clubs if the size was there, but the Jazz Lab does accommodate 200 or so. It's a perfect place to hear artists like Terry Lynn Carrington and Nubia Garcia.
And then you've got the smaller club rooms that can support our local artists who might have smaller audiences coming along, and yet still have that feeling of intimacy and full house.
Absolutely. Well, it's also creating that sort of celebration of the music once a year where, you know, hopefully everybody gets involved and all the clubs get busy, actually. The ones that are involved in the festival and even outside the festival, that they tend to all be busy during that 10-day period because there's been so much marketing of the festival.
And you can tell by the posts that are going up on social media from some of our local musos how thrilled they are to be involved as part of the International Jazz Festival program.
It's great for them.
And then we get on to the club sessions, as you mentioned, at the Jazz Lab, where you've got the larger space for a larger audience for the internationals. And then we go to our modern... Oh, actually, Explorations in Jazz is the next one I wanted to have a quick look at. Things are a little bit different. You've got Kim Murr and Peter Knight. Then you've got Kim Murr and the Australian Art Orchestra.
Yes, that's part of the Jazz at West program. And then there's a Jazz Futures program as well with Monash Uni, Peter Knight and Kim Murr.
So this is an area where...
It is more experimental and I guess you'd call it avant-garde, but it's still worth exploring.
I think I've been to one or two over the last few years and it certainly might not be my taste, but it was interesting to go and experience it.
Yes.
To see them doing something very different to what I'm used to.
Yeah.
It's a big part of jazz, though, and, you know, jazz is so very, very broad in, you know, what you can listen to.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, you can hear, you know, a vocalist like we were listening to Gretchen before, and something avant-garde is really...
Well,
good. And some people don't like to maybe put themselves out there to hear that, but when they do, it's...
Well, this is a good example of the breadth of the festival. Something like that, as opposed to, say, Maceo Parker, who is doing a Ray Charles tribute and having he's collaborating with Melbourne's Meltdown, and they're expanding to 17-piece, plus there's the Raylettes. Maceo's bringing him with him and his MD. So that'll be a spectacular show at Hamer Hall.
Indeed.
And then there'll be something as intimate as you know, Kim Murr and Peter Knight. So it's quite a broad range from one extreme to the other, sense.
Yeah. Very much so. So let's have a look at the Modern Masters, who are our, what would you call them, headline acts for the festival?
Yeah.
So you've mentioned Maceo Parker just then, a tribute to Ray Charles.
Yes. Actually, he was an interesting one. The first time I laid eyes on Maceo Parker was when Prince came to the club. And to cut a very long story short, it was one quiet Sunday night and the staff rang me and said, Prince is at the end of the bar. And I thought it was some sort of prank, of course. And I went down and, of course, he was there. And after I picked myself up off from the floor, he said, do you mind if we play here tomorrow night before our arena gig? And I said, sure. You can play here.
Anytime you like.
Anyway, Maceo turned up with him. So that he was part of the band. But, you know, a serious jazz musician with a serious pop.
Jazz musician.
Well, jazz musician. He covered every genre. He did. It was amazing.
Let's have a look at a few more modern masters. Madeleine Perrot.
She grew up busking in the streets of Paris and before she became famous and was often compared to Billie Holiday. And she maintained those jazz influences and then went on to record covers of great artists like Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, Leonard Cohen, and she ended up having a huge hit, sold over a million records. Leonard Cohen's song Dance Me Till the End of Love was on her Keyless Love 2004 album, and that really propelled her into stardom.
I think that's one of the most well-known versions of that particular song.
Yeah. That'll be a beautiful concert with Madeleine.
You've got an evening with Branford Marsalis.
Yes, the Recital Centre. The first time I met Branford Marsalis was at the jazz at Ben's Lane. Also, he walked in with his band after a gig, wanting to listen to some music. Anyway, so I walked into the room and there was a rowdy group at the end of the room, and I told Megan, the manager, to go and quieten them. I didn't know it was Branford, She went and told him, you know, politely, be quiet and respect the music, and it was Branford. So he fell to his knees and apologised profusely and remained friends to today.
Oh,
so,
excellent.
Yeah, so great quartet, quintessential jazz quartet, very famous family of jazz musicians. Yeah, that'll be incredible.
You've mentioned Gretchen Parlato and Floor, and Sun Ra Orchestra is out for one night.
Yes, you mentioned them before, yes. Marshall Allen. He'll be 94 when he's really? Here. Yeah, he's turning 94 in May.
And still leading the band.
Still leading the band. The band of tone scientists.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to term it, yes.
He explains their place in this space.
It does, actually. I must remember that, tone scientist. I like that. Now, you've mentioned Terry Lynn Carrington and Social Science.
Yes.
They're coming out. Where are they? They're at the Jazz Lab?
They are. They're doing four shows at the Jazz Lab. Her music deals, you know, with issues of racism, freedom and sexism, I guess, and all sorts of those kind of issues. But the music's incredible. It's kind of a slow burn funk kind of feel, but it's an amazing band. And, you know, I mean, she's a leader in the jazz world, again, playing with all the greats, Cess Brandt, Spaulding, Wayne Shorter, Herbie Hancock. So she's been around for quite some time. And brings this special project to Melbourne.
A great pedigree.
Yes.
And you've got a group that performed for the first time together at Wangaratta last year, being The Others.
Yes, Cram from Spiderbait, James Morrison and Paul Grabowski. If you know those three musicians, it puts a smile on my face.
I missed out at Wangaratta, so I'm going to have to get there this year.
Yeah, I had a recording of it. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Amazing, I reckon. Chris Dave and the Drumheads is an Explorations in Jazz.
Yeah, he'll be at 170 Russell Street, which is another venue we use.
Is that new to the festival this year?
No, we've been using it for the last few years.
Okay.
It's more of a stand-up sort of vibe. Yeah, I mean, he did four club shows last time he was here, but he was so popular that we've had to put him into a bigger, you know, he's like kind of like from the soul, funk, jazz world, electronica, I suppose. But he's the sort of guy that I mentioned before that has collaborated with incredible artists like Sonny Rollins and Wynton Marsalis, but is a go-to drummer for Adele.
It's just amazing to think that we have such talent coming into Melbourne for this 10 days
it's amazing.
In June. It really is. Barney McCall's got a couple of gigs too.
Yeah, he's doing one out in Darabin because they get involved in the festival. Doris Ake was a songwriter, a gospel songwriter. And when he was in New York, he came across her playing in church, playing organ in church, and fell in love with her songwriting. And so he's putting music to it.
I think that might be a must-see somehow.
Yeah.
And let's finish up with Kristen McBride coming out to the Jazz Lab again as part of the Modern Masters.
Yes, and he plays an Australian double bass.
Australian double bass, doesn't
We're very lucky in Melbourne. We've got Ben Pugliese, who makes basses, violin maker basically, but he makes basses. He's getting world-renowned. Difficult to travel with a double bass, and sometimes you can't even travel with one. So it's such a luxury to have somebody like that in Melbourne that can just, you know, put up a dozen basses and say, pick one. And, Christian, last time he was in Australia, fell in love with his bass and Matilda.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's named.
Yeah. And so he now plays an Australian double bass.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear.
Yeah.
Very much
so. It's the one that's photographed in the brochure.
Well, that means that we'll be taking much more notice of what he's playing when he's out there on stage.
<That's right. laughs>
I have a piece from Christian, actually, to play now as we say goodbye to you, Michael. It's from his People Music album, which is his Inside Straight project.
Mm.
That's called Gang Gang. But I'll play that in just a moment after I say a very big thank you for coming in again to Bent Notes to tell us about what is sounding like an amazing 10 days here in Melbourne.
Yeah, there are a lot of great things there. Things that I haven't artists I haven't mentioned, like Yemen Blues, Noah. In fact, Noah's a band that collaborated with Snarky Puppy that we were talking about before off air. The keyboard player in their band, because they've got a rotating a group, is Ray Thistlewaite from Thirsty Merc. Common ground, you know, finding crossing genres. And
yes, and I think they were at Wangaratta, was it last year? Or year before? Might have been the year before.
Ah,
yes.
Noah?
Ray Thistlewaite.
Oh, yeah, right.
So Noah is interesting spelling, K-N-O-W-E-R.
Yes, great band, electro, pop, jazz, funk, soul. they do it all.
And that's at 170 Russell.
Yeah.
What's the website for all the information?
melbournejazz.com. You'll find everything there. And, of course, individual venues also sell tickets to the shows. But melbournejazz.com, then you can redirect.
It's the best place to start.
Yeah.
Michael, thank you so much again for coming in to Bent Notes. It's been great to hear about this year's festival. Looking forward to it. It's only now, are you in the countdown mode yet?
I am. I started now.
So how many days to go?
About 75.
Oh, that's not very far away at all. Well, again, thank you very much for coming in and spending the time with us here in studio. I really appreciate it and look forward to seeing the festival.
Pleasure.
This is Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.